Good morning. We've been, during this the last month or so, we've been looking at some the early chapters of the Gospel of Luke, and as part of that, we've been intentionally thinking about how Jesus is the revelation of God, that when we see Jesus, we are seeing God, the appearing of God, and also not only have a chance to look at Jesus, but we are remembering in these passages from Luke that the church, that you and I who follow Christ, are called to bear witness to Jesus, to not only encounter Jesus for ourselves, but to bear witness to who he is in the gospel. And so we've been looking at chapters from Luke, and we're going to do that again this morning. This is Luke 5. We'll read parts of that together. Before we do that, though, I just want to mention that there'll be, in this passage, we'll see two stories of people being called by Christ, being called to him, to follow him, but also being called to bear witness, to tell others about the welcome that they have received in Jesus. We'll see Jesus call Simon Peter, the fisherman, to leave his boats and to come with him. And we'll see Jesus call Levi, the tax collector, to leave his tax booth and to follow him. And that both of them are to invite others to know who Jesus is. And so as we look at these, hopefully we get a better sense of who Jesus' identity and his call to mission. We're going to look primarily at the story of Simon Peter and his call, but we'll also look a little bit at Levi as a chance for us to hear this call to join Jesus and to bear witness to him. So let's look at Luke chapter 5. This is verse 1 through 11, and then 27 through 32. You can follow in your order of worship or in your Bible. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with him. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've gathered us here, that we can sing songs of your praise and worship, that we can gather before you and remembering our sin and the grace that abounds in Christ, that we can hear your word. And Lord, we pray that you'd meet us in our questions and our fears, meet us in our hopes and our plans, meet us, Lord, wherever we are today, that by your Spirit that we'd be drawn to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, there's two stories of calling, and we're going to look primarily at the first one about Simon Peter. And there's really three parts to that story. There's the miraculous catch. The second part is Peter's words to Jesus, and the third is Jesus' response to Peter. So we'll make our way through those three and reflect on who Jesus is and what it means that we're called to join him. Well, we start off by hearing that Jesus is standing next to the lake. This is the Lake of Sea of Galilee, and this is the region of his early ministry. Word has spread about him. If you've been here the last few weeks, you know that he's been doing amazing things, saying amazing things, and we keep being told that people are amazed and telling others about him, and so it keeps spreading. They have noted what he has said. They've noted what Jesus has done and how he treats people, especially how he pays attention and gives his resources and his presence to those that the religious leaders normally ignore and disregard. And Luke tells us now that there's a great crowd gathering around Jesus at the shore, and they are pressing upon him because they want to hear the word of God. They want to hear what Jesus says. And the crowd is pressing, and there's not enough room, and Jesus sees that there are boats on the shore, and so he asks Simon Peter, he makes the first request of the passage to Simon, that he would put out one of his boats into the water, and Jesus could be sitting in it. Now, I don't know why. I'm sure that the sound engineer, maybe Dave or others, could explain to us why this works this way, but the geography of the lake is such that when Jesus is sitting in that boat, that it creates an amphitheater. And that suddenly, even though he's sitting in the water, that people can hear him as they stand on the shore. And so the crowds continue to listen to him. And our passage starts with this wide lens of Jesus and all of these people hanging on his words, needing to hear the word of God. But then it also then turns and becomes a very specific point, a conversation between two people, between Simon and Jesus, as they sit together in this fishing boat. And it starts this specific conversation with Jesus making a strange request to Simon. After speaking to the crowd, he says to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now, why is this strange? Why is this an absurd thing for Jesus to ask? Well, first, there is the timing of the request that these fishermen, we've been told, they were just finishing their work. They were washing their nets when Jesus asked them the favor of using their boat. They had been working all night, and they were getting ready to stop. The nets that they used were designed to be used in the dark, in the night, or in the very early morning, and they, after all their work, were not going to start again now, especially now in the brightness of the day. The second thing, though, that is it's strange, because here is the source of the request. Jesus is a son of a carpenter. The carpenter's son is instructing fishermen in how to fish. Have you ever had anyone tell you how to do your job? I'm sure that's enjoyable, right? It's nice when people tell you how to take care of your things and your responsibilities. It's even more frustrating, right, when the person telling you, giving you their ideas, hey, you should try this. It's more frustrating even when they lack the knowledge or the expertise that you have. Here is the carpenter's son telling these fishermen what they should do. Now, I'm not a fisherman. I've mentioned this before. You can ask my wife and Jody that I don't even like to touch the worms or the fish. Everything's just so slimy. And so I'm not about to give any instructions about fishing to anyone. But here is Jesus, right, sitting in the boat, telling these tired fishermen in the middle of the bright day to cast their nets. And it's worth us noting that Luke tells us that Simon is exhausted. He doesn't want to ask this of himself, let alone his fellow fishermen, his partners, who are exhausted as well. And I imagine that Jesus' request to him makes him feel fatigued and a little frustrated. "We have toiled all night for nothing," Simon says. "We've toiled." But Simon, even in his fatigue, respects Jesus through his teaching and through his actions, through who Jesus is. He has made an impression on Simon. And so even after expressing his fatigue, his toil, his fruitlessness in this fishing this last night, he says to Jesus, "At your word, I will let down the nets since you ask me." It's worth us pausing and asking, can we relate? Have we ever felt called to do something, felt convictions that this is what God is leading us to do, but it feels exhausting? It fills us with fatigue. That we feel called to act, but we feel empty in trying to do so. in our circumstances as we hear God's words that they seem foolish, make us wonder, what's the point? As you hear and reflect on God's word, maybe as convictions even grow inside of you, you still struggle to know what to do with these words that seem to not fit with what's in front of you. It's worth us noting that Simon here demonstrates an extraordinary receptivity, a humble courage, I would say, that is marked in his willingness to receive a word from Jesus, even in his exhaustion. Soren Kierkegaard, many years ago, writes, "Whenever there is good, courage is also present there. Whatever happens to the good, courage is always on the side of the good." It's worth us seeing that in Peter here, this faithful courage is the expression, the willingness to be still and to be silent, even in the midst of distress and fatigue or anxiety, willingness to hear and receive a word. And how that's so different often than our pride in which we're all so focused on our activities, our plans, the ways that we're going to go about making it fit, making us stretch to reach it. But here is something different in the midst of fatigue, a faithful courage to receive a word even when it's strange and even when it's unexpected and does not fit with what he was planning for that moment. In the midst of a long night of work, in the midst of toil and deep fatigue with nothing to show for it, Peter receives this strange word from Jesus, and he and the others in the boat set out into the deep and they dropped their nets. And you heard what happened is that when they do so, they enclose a large number of fish, so large that their nets begin to break. Can we imagine? Can you picture the scene? It must be a joyful chaos. Shouts for help, grunts as they try to pull these bursting nets up from the water into their boats, laughter at the surprise and the excitement. And the story quickly again broadens back out. It's not just about Peter. But he and his others in his boat, they call out for help. Seeing that their nets are bursting, they can't handle this large catch. They call out to John and to James and their partners. And they come and they help. And Luke writes that soon that both boats are so full of fish that they begin to sink. Well, there is the miraculous catch. And in the celebration of the boats and the celebration of this great catch and the shouts of excitement, our passage zooms back into the second part where Simon is there with Jesus. In the midst of this joyful chaos, in the midst of bursting nets and flopping fish, something quiet comes over Peter. Something quiet comes over him. And in the second part, we see that he falls at Jesus' knees, and Peter says to him, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What's happening? What's happening in that moment? In his quiet words to Jesus, we see that this passage is not ultimately about fish. It isn't ultimately even about Simon's obedience to put out his nets. This, in the quietness of Peter's words, we're invited to see, you can imagine this idea of seeing anew, grasping something that was in front of you before but you had never really seen. In Peter's quiet words, his vision is being expressed. His vision has been sharpened with new eyes that he suddenly sees himself and sees Jesus more clearly. It's like for a moment that the curtain has been pulled back and that he suddenly sees things in a way that he had not grasped them before. In Celtic Christianity or in Celtic spirituality, there is the notion of a thin place. Maybe you've heard of that before, but this idea that there are places that somehow are a little bit closer to heaven. That there are moments where somehow heaven and earth overlap and we grasp a new way of seeing. That the old way doesn't account for what I've experienced, the beauty, or what I have beheld. And Peter, in his quiet is encountering heaven and earth coming together in the person of Jesus, gaining a new vision of himself and the one before him. Now, I don't know what your experience has been like, but it's often the case that we receive new vision, that we see things anew. It's often that we have this happen through suffering, through facing difficult things. Life's not going the way that I want it to go. And when I go about trying to change the direction, I keep coming into the reality that I don't have the power or the ability to make it go how I want it to go. And such painful experiences, whether they are short or whether they are prolonged, can open our eyes to see our condition and to see our limits. And sometimes through that experience, we begin to see ourselves and see God in a new way. I mentioned that, but we see here in Simon Peter that something different is happening. Something's different in this quiet moment, for here, Peter's hands are full. His nets are bursting. His boats are so full that they are about to sink. His experience is not one of suffering, but overflowing goodness. Something strange and something beautiful has happened before him. And I don't know about you, but I can't help but think it would have been easy for Peter, along with his partners, it would have been easy for him to get lost in the economics of what was happening. This was a massive amount of money it meant for him. If I can just get these fish from this boat to the market, I'll be doing very well. It would have been easy for him to get lost in the questions now. How do I take care of these fish? How do I clean them and get them to the market? How do I take care of this thing that's fallen upon me? It'd be easy to get lost in the abundance, in the responsibilities, or the new stresses that it brings it about. There's something about the human heart that no matter how long we toil, no matter how long the night has been and how fruitless it feels, that we can be quick to forget. We can be quick to forget and turn away from this abundance and this overwhelming good gift, and that we can turn rather to stress and to complaining about now these things I have to take care of, or wondering what to do with all this that's in front of me. There's something about the human heart that in even these good moments that we can become hardened to turn simply into worry or self-sufficiency, seeing only ourselves. And here in Peter's abundance, I think it would have been easy for that to happen, but yet something goes on through the Spirit of God that he sees clearly. He sees himself and he sees Jesus in a new way. And he knows this is not my doing. This is not my doing. No matter how much I want to, I cannot claim what has happened here. It is a gift of God. He has no claim on Jesus. And he, in this moment, somehow recognizes the vast difference between Jesus and himself. And the only thing that makes sense to do is fall on his knees and say that I'm a sinful man. And I do not belong in the presence of this other one. He's seeing his limits. He can't control the circumstances. He didn't bring this about. He can't even control himself. And the goodness, he's awakened to God. A fundamental mark of God's people is humility. And in this moment of seeing the difference between him and Jesus, Peter takes a title for himself. Do you notice what the title is? I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. I am a sinner. It is when we recognize in ourselves our profound need for help and redemption, when we recognize the profound gifts that God has given us, that we are ready to hear the good news of God. It's when we recognize the vast difference between ourselves and God that we are ready to receive his care and to give thanks for the good things poured upon us. Jesus takes the title of sinner. It seems like the most appropriate one in the moment. The switch to the story ahead, Levi, the tax collector, he knows that title as well, sinner. Not because he's claimed it for himself, but because he hears it every day from his neighbors. You're a sinner. You're just a tax collector. You're the one who's been busy spending time with the Romans and the Gentiles. You're the one who is ritually unclean because of these Gentiles. You're the one that we think is simply dishonest. Deciding that counting your money, chasing after your money, is more important than any conviction. When Peter joins Jesus' call, a sinner joins. When Levi follows Jesus, a tax collector, one who has been titled a sinner, joins Jesus as well. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And how does Jesus respond? The third part of our passage is Jesus hearing these words and offering a response to Peter. What does he say to this one who has at his knees? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. What is Jesus communicating? The rest of our time, I want us to hear two things that Jesus is communicating to Peter and also to Levi and to us. First, that Jesus doesn't tell Peter to stop. It's worth us noting this, right? He doesn't say to him, hey, you've misunderstood my identity. This is a little too much. Jesus receives these words of honor and praise. And they are words that are directed to the holy creator of all things, the one who owns the fish in the sea, the giver of all good gifts. Jesus receives these title, this welcome, this worship. And we see something similar when Jesus calls Levi to follow him. And when he gathers at table with Levi and all of his tax collector friends, do you notice this? Look, there's a meal going on. And meal in that day especially was code for who do I associate myself with? Who am I with in life? And the Pharisees, the religious serious ones, the insiders, they asked the question, why? Why are you eating with these people? And the idea being, Jesus, we see you as one who is good and righteous. Why would you associate yourself with these sinners and these outsiders? Why are you a friend to sinners? And it's worth us noting again here that Jesus does not dismiss what they're saying. He doesn't say, no, I'm not really as good as you think, or I'm not the righteous one. But rather, he explains his mission. So first, Jesus receives these words about himself. But then second, and I imagine that Jesus lifts Peter up at this moment, grabbing his hand and lifting him to himself, he speaks a welcome to Peter. He welcomes him. Do not be afraid. Jesus does not disagree that there is a vast difference between himself and us. He doesn't somehow try to shorten that gap of reality, but rather he enters into the gap and says, do not be afraid. He calls Peter into a welcome and asks Peter to share that welcome with others. Jesus offers us words of forgiveness and reconciliation. Do not be afraid. These are words of union, words of love, words of forgiveness. Jesus is the holy creator of all, controlling the fish and the sea, but he's also our Savior, the God who has come to grant, who has authority to grant forgiveness. And here is a chance for a new vision again for us to see that I can actually see myself and I can confess honestly that I am sinful, that I am broken, that I am dependent on others, that I need God's help. I can confess all these things. That I'm afraid, but find security and rest in the one who has welcomed me. In Jesus, God's people are sinners who know they are sinners in need of help. In Jesus, God's people find security and rest in his grace and his faithfulness. God's people are those who are humbly able to be welcomed by Jesus and in their humility welcome others in his name. Even those who are afraid, even those who are mistreated, even those who are hurt around us. Jesus, why do you welcome sinners? Why are you a friend of sinners? Now I picture Jesus sitting next to Levi at the table. the celebration of how he's been called to follow Jesus. And Jesus' answer is, why am I a friend of sinners? Because I have come for the sick. You know this, that those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick. Where does the doctor need to go? The doctor needs to go to those who are not well. The doctor needs to go to those who are in need of care. And Jesus says, it is right for me to be with those who need my forgiveness. This work requires crossing boundaries. And it's such crossing of boundaries that make the religious leaders, the Pharisees, feel very uncomfortable. His mission is not to the righteous. His mission is not to somehow create a boundary where he keeps away those who are contaminated. His mission is to cross over boundaries and welcome those who have not been welcome. Jesus becomes known as a friend of sinners. And the question then for us is, has the church shared in that title? Does the church share in that title? Do we share in the title as the one who delights in welcoming others, who is a friend of sinners? From now on, you will catch men, Jesus says to Simon Peter. From now on, you will break with the past and you will move into a new way. Jesus isn't just calling workers, he's calling us to himself, and in that welcome, that we are to share that welcome with others. Peter, no longer are you to catch fish in order to sell them at the market, but you are to catch people that they may know release and liberty. Levi, no longer are you to simply collect tolls, but you are to receive sinners in my name. Jesus calls men and women to know his welcome. Do not be afraid. And he calls us not only to know that for ourselves, but to share his love, his boundary-crossing grace with others, with our neighbors, with our friends, with all those who God puts in our life. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for who you are. And Lord, thank you that you are a God who does not stay distant but draws near to us, even meeting us in the deep, meeting us in our toils and our longings. Lord, give us eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.